Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship at Emmanuel. The old year is on its way out, the new year is on its way in, and we are thankful for it. God gives us the opportunity to gather in His house often, but it's at this passing of the year where we have an opportunity to give thanks for the year of His grace now quickly drawing to a close, and to ask His blessing on the new year that begins tonight. We ask that God would always focus our attention on the truth of His grace, and that's the opportunity that's before us as we'll gather tonight around His Word and His sacrament as well, to seek His truth and to have that fill our lives as this new year comes. In worship this evening, we'll follow the order of worship that you have in your service folder, and tonight's service begins on the top of page 3 with the opening hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. God's richest blessings on our worship tonight. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
The past year, we must confess, has again been a year of sin, of many sins, all serious sins on the part of every one of us. Therefore, let us confess our sins to God and ask for His forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess to you that I have not loved you with all my heart. In what I have done and left undone, I have pursued my ways instead of your ways. I have not loved my brothers and sisters as myself. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins. I repent of them. I beg for your mercy, O Lord. Forgive us for the sake of Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for us. Cleanse me from my sins. Release me from my guilt. Grant me your Holy Spirit to amend my sinful life. The Bible says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Our sins have been great, but God's grace and mercy are greater. In His great mercy, the Almighty God has sent His Son to die for all. For His sake, God forgives our sins and calls us from darkness to His marvelous light. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Eternal Father, before whom all generations rise and fall, teach us to think seriously about the shortness of our lives and about the immensity of your goodness. Help us to enter the new year trusting in the name of your Son and walking in the way of his peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. As this past year of God's grace quickly comes to a close, it is a joy for us to dwell on, as we mentioned in the prayer, the immensity of God's goodness. The first lesson for our attention tonight reminds us that God is the one who rules over all things in history and calls us to put our trust in Him and to be still in the knowledge of His grace. The first lesson, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. We'll join to sing the two verses of the hymn on page 6. second lesson, the Apostle Paul applies the amazing power of God by showing us that not only does God control history, but he also molds it for the benefit of those whom he loves. The second lesson from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This too is the word of the Lord. We sing the hymn response. Gospel. The Holy Gospel from John chapter 16, Jesus' words of comfort that he holds the world and its story in the palms of his hands. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We'll join to sing the hymn response.
Fire or sun or thunder shall sever me from
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to him who was and who is to come, be all glory, authority, and dominion. As far as New Year's Eves go, I think that this particular year, more people are looking forward to saying adios to the year past more than ever before in my recent memory. I've stood up in pulpits on New Year's Eves before. I've had the opportunity to talk to God's people about what the year past may have been like for them and what the year to come may still hold for them. But there's something about New Year's Eve this year that has everybody talking. I think this year, everybody wants to spend a little bit of time remembering that this year, 2020, was something we may have looked forward to, and now we're looking forward to getting it behind us as fast as humanly possible. So if after church tonight you want to get together and have a couple of cocktails, fire off a little bit of ordinance, sing the song, and make the resolutions, by all means, enjoy it. But before we get to all that, let's spend some time with the word of our Savior. It's not always easy to pick out a sermon text for New Year's Eve. There's not really the same calendar that God's people kept in the Old Testament like the one that we keep today. God never said, this is the one that I want you to read on New Year's Eve. The gospel for Christmas or Christmas Eve is a little bit simpler than that. It means as a preacher, I get to pick out a song or a psalm or a prayer that might be able to sum up everything that we witnessed in the year gone by, and I knew that this year I was going to have to pick something big. So I decided to pick what might be the oldest song, or at least the oldest psalm, the most honest and the most ancient of the entire book that a lot of Christians know near and dear to them. It's not actually words that you've heard read from the lectern tonight. It's a text that is often read around this time of the year as we consider the plan that our God has and how time doesn't affect him like it affects us. It just so happens to be the psalm that is the foundation for the opening hymn. So as I read the psalm text itself, if you want to follow along on one of those front pages of your bulletin, the song that we sang was, O God, our help in ages past, based on the text of Psalm number 90, and I'm going to read that to you tonight. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust and say, return to dust, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dried up and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain hearts of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted for us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, and your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I didn't write these words myself, of course. But by looking at what they have to say, and more importantly, looking at the life of the man who did write them, God is going to allow us to take stock of a complex year past and a year of His grace that's yet to come. Tonight, what I want to do for just a few minutes is tell you the story of where these words came from, so that we can take this same psalm, this same prayer, and apply it to ourselves as we pass the old year away. This is probably the oldest psalm in the whole book. We know that there's 150 psalms, a lot of which were written by people you're familiar with, men like King David, but this one is older than them all. On the top of a lot of those chapters of the Bible, there's a little heading that gives you some understanding of who put it together or the kind of tune they wanted it sung to, and this one so happens to be called the Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. That makes it at least 400 or 500 odd years older than David's Psalms would be, and probably even older than the one that we heard from Psalm 46 tonight. And the interesting thing about Moses and his prayer that you have here and that you maybe follow it along with the hymn version is we don't really know when in his life he wrote it. But I have a pretty good guess. I guess that Moses wrote this prayer at the end of what might have been the longest year in his whole life. The story of that long year in the life of God's man Moses starts in Numbers chapter 20, and it keeps on going with a whole bunch of other details until you get to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, almost 50 chapters later. In that 50 chapters, Moses describes things that happened to him and to the people that he was leading in the final year of their wandering in the wilderness. And for Moses, that final year of wandering and getting God's people ready to get into their promised land was probably the longest and hardest year of his life. It's probably something that we can appreciate this year. As usually, we get to the end of a calendar year and look back on maybe the successes that we had or the things that we enjoyed from the year gone by, and then look forward to imagining what kind of successes and enjoyments God might have for us in the year to come. But this year, 2020, was kind of a clunker, if you ask me. And to think of what comes to a Christian's heart and mind as we look back on what might be the longest and most frustrating year that most of us can probably remember. Let me tell you what happened in the life of Moses. In the first month of that 40th year of their wandering in the wilderness, Moses had to say goodbye to someone who he cared about a lot. It was his sister Miriam, who had basically picked him up out of the waters of the Reed Sea when he was put in that basket as a little baby, the one who had looked out for him and cared about him, the relationship that he had with his sister Miriam. The year of his life began when she went to go and be with her Savior. Whenever we lose someone in our lives that's near and dear to us, sometimes it really can leave an impression on the whole year that surrounds it. But for Moses, that particular year had a double whammy as far as family parting. He started the year by saying goodbye to his sister Miriam, and by the end of the year, he had to say goodbye to his brother Aaron as well. Talk about one of those disastrous years where everything seems to go wrong at the same time. The one who Moses had come to rely on in life, kind of his spokesman, the guy who was always willing to speak up when Moses felt a little bit uneasy in talking, those two people that meant so much to him, to lose even one of them in the course of the year might have been a disaster. But that was only the beginning in Moses' tough year. This was also the year that God's people seemed to finally have enough of following their chosen leader through those years of wilderness wandering. This is when they finally got to Moses and Aaron in Numbers chapter 20, and their belly aching got so intense that they said, "We want you to do something better for us. We want you to give us a different option, if you please." And when God instructed that he was going to supply them with the water that they were begging for, Moses frankly lost his temper. Do you know the story of when he hit the rock with his staff instead of speaking to it? I can understand that that happens to anybody, especially in the year 2020. We sometimes have our fuses really, really short, this time of year especially, but for Moses, that failure came with consequences. After faithfully leading God's people for 40 years, one frustrating day in the middle of that disastrous year had God telling Moses that now he was not going to get to see the promised land for himself. If you start to add it up, the losses from his personal life and the stresses from his job and the ways in which he seemed to feel like a failure some days, you add those up together and it's about the worst year that you might be able to imagine. And at the end of that year, Moses sat down to offer this prayer in reflection. Lord, if we only understood how often we fail you. Lord, if we only understood how big you are and how small we happen to be, I wish you would teach us to number our days. Teach us to carefully count our days, O Lord. As we say goodbye to 365 days past and ask for God's blessing on 365 days to come in 2021, Moses' prayer is our prayer. Lord, teach me to carefully count these days, to look back humbly, and to look forward confidently. I imagine that as Moses at the end of the year looked back on the frustrating story that he had walked in the path that God had placed before him, there were two things that really kind of came to his mind. The way in which he had kind of let God down and all God's people down as well. And as you hear that, the thought of the fact that Moses was weak and he was frustrated, that kind of opens itself up in all sorts of places in this psalm. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They're like grass in the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." I wonder if at the end of that disastrous year, Moses had to ponder why it was that he had to say goodbye to his sister and his brother in the same year. Because those two were some of the last of that generation of Israel that had failed to trust God when they were standing on the doorstep of his promised land. Moses was forced to roll back in his memory 40 years, an entire generation of watching all God's people fall asleep in the dust of death so that God could raise up a new generation who would trust him. And I imagine that gave Moses time to reflect on all the failures that he must have been feeling as a leader of God's people, and how absolutely frail we are as creatures. Coming into 2020, I think the people that we are and the nation in which we live and the community that we have, we kind of felt that we are kind of getting things going in the right direction and things were kind of going well for us at the end of the day. And then this humbling thing called COVID-19 caught up with our whole world. And it taught us to recognize that maybe we're not as strong as we think we are. Maybe we're not as patient and positive as we might think we are. Maybe it's given us recognition that sometimes we don't get it right in our relationship with each other and in our relationship with our God. That when things are going well in life, trusting the Lord and His way is easy. But when things aren't going well in life, we get awfully frustrated with the Almighty awfully quick. You think about reflecting on a year and how often you might say to yourself, I can highlight the things that I got right and sometimes pick out the things that I think God maybe got wrong. If he would have just done things a little bit differently in this past year, I think life might have been a little bit better. And I'm a little bit frustrated that maybe God didn't do things a little bit better this year. After all, I got my long list of things that I would have liked to see happen. Of course, I'm not going to tell you about the long list of things that I didn't want to do, but did anyways, God. How often don't we reflect and think awfully highly of ourselves and awfully lowly about everybody else? When in reality, God ought to come down and flip that attitude right upside down on its head. Rather than ending up a year by telling God all the things that he got wrong and all the things we got right, what if God would show up at the end of the year and tell us everything that he got right and everything that we got wrong? I think there'd be an awful lot of honesty in what he'd have to say. Because come to think of it, at the end of the year, sometimes we fail to recognize all the things that God actually did get right in our lives. All the amazing things and blessings that he was able to accomplish, even though we weren't always aware of them, that God was constant in his grace. And God was dedicated in his love. And that God never failed to pay attention to the things that needed paying attention to, and he never failed to be absolutely patient with us in the ways that we behaved. Sometimes, I think that sometimes we're only so willing to overlook our own frailty and our own failures that we fail to see God's perfection and his providence. That for another year, God took care of each and every one of us, even though we didn't deserve it. If God were to step back for a year and say, you guys can take care of yourselves for a little bit, I think the year that we just have passed would seem awfully insignificant compared to how difficult those years might be to come. And yet when Moses steps back and reflects on just how big and gracious God had been, it kind of stops him dead in his tracks. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Dear God, as this year comes to a close, teach us to count our days carefully and with humility and joy see how much of your grace was poured into this year past. And then, God, open our eyes to the amount of grace that you have promised us now in the year to come. As Moses turns his attention away from what's past and onto what is yet to come, listen to how much anticipation and confidence Moses has in the grace and love of his God. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants and your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What do you all want 2021 to be? What would you like to see in the year to come that you didn't get to see in this year past? Or let me ask it in this way. What would have to happen tomorrow morning to make you happy again? I think you might have a list by this point. If these certain things happen in 2021, then that year is going to be finally the year that I had been looking forward to and got disappointed with in 2020. If my team does the playoffs just right this year and gets to the big game down in Tampa, then my 2021 will finally be worth it. If we finally get the solution that the doctors and the politicians have been promising us all throughout 2020 that we never saw, if we can just have that in the year to come, then I'll be satisfied. If things go well at my job, if things go well with my health, if I get to rebuild and restore that relationship that's been on the rocks with the person that I care about, if this thing, and if that thing, and if this thing, and if that thing, if those things all happen in 2020 year, then I'll be satisfied with the year to come. But those terrible ifs can sometimes accumulate. Because perhaps we're looking for joy and satisfaction in places where God has not promised it, and we're like, none of us are likely to find it lasting. But listen to how Moses says it. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. Don't satisfy us with the conditions that we want met, being met. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. I won't be satisfied if. I will be satisfied next year because. Because in the year to come, God's grace in Jesus is going to be as sure next year as it's been this past year. That God's love for me will be proven in the way that He loves and leads and guides me all throughout however many days He has authored for me. God's love remains constant. Even as one year cascades into the next, after everything changes down here on earth, we finally get our eyes open to the fact that 1,000 ages are like nothing in God's sight. That the plan that He has for us lasts into eternity. And for Moses to say, we'd like at the end of the story, God, to see more blessings at the end than we had to deal with the challenges in this year past. If you listen to what Paul said to the Romans, to think of what God has planned for us in eternity makes the troubles that we faced in this year seem like nothing by comparison. At the end of the day, in the end of the year, Moses had to look back on what might have been the longest and most challenging year of his life. It also happened to be the last year of his life. For as soon as that 40th year of wandering came to a close, God said to Moses, I need you to walk up on this mountainside. I'll show you the promised land that's coming. But then I'm going to get you ready for the life that I've always had you ready for. This was the year that God taught Moses how to count. How to carefully count the days past. And to look forward to the days that God had planned for him in the future. I have to admit that this year, 2020, came as a big challenge. This was the year that really taught us how to count. But it didn't teach us just how to count 14-day quarantines and 60-day mandates and lockdowns and shutdowns. This is the year that taught us to count on what God's grace is really all about. The year in which God teaches us to look back humbly and to look forward confidently, and to carefully count every single day of His grace that He's given and that He's promised. For throughout every one of them, God satisfies us with the message of His love. Blessings on the year to come as we continue to marvel at the grace of our God. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. We have an opportunity to support the giving and offerings that we use to support the ministry here at Emmanuel. If you have one of those that you brought with you tonight, there are baskets that those offerings can be placed into. If you're also interested in supporting gospel ministry, there's a note for you there on the top of page 9. Our service then continues this evening with the prayer for the close of the year. We'll speak that prayer responsively on page 9. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name. It is fitting, O Lord, in the final hours of this year, to express our gratitude for the countless gifts of grace we have received from you. You have been faithful to your promises and loving toward all you have made. You clothe your creation with beauty. You feed even the birds and tell us that we are much more valuable than they. You know what we need, and you give us all good things. Clothing and food, safety and health, possessions and money, even life itself, all these come to us from your generous hand. We thank you for these blessings, and we ask that you continue to grant them to us. We thank you especially for your word and Holy Supper, which strengthen our faith, shield us from temptation, and equip us for service.
Increase our commitments to these precious gifts so that we may continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private requests concerning the new year. Almighty and eternal God, you have been gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. As you led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, so lead us by the light of your word, that we may live our lives to your glory and be prepared to die in your peace. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. In his name we began this year. In his name we bring it to a close. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue this evening with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In love he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He made his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Jesus, we worship.
Now may this true body and blood strengthen you and keep you in the one true faith until life everlasting. You are at peace with God. Amen. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll close our service and our year this evening with the hymn on the top of page 13. Once again, a joy to be gathered with all of you in worship. As we here at Emmanuel reflect on a year gone by, one word that comes to my mind is gratitude. And first of all, to all the members of our congregation and to all of you for being patient with us as a Christian church as we sort out all the challenges of this year past, and then for the continuing support that you bring in being in God's house and supporting his work with your offerings as well. An immense debt of gratitude from our staff, our pastors, to you. Secondly, to all those who serve in our congregation as volunteers, as leaders on our church council and our boards, in the ways that you have assisted our congregation to do its work in the midst of these days, an immense amount of gratitude to you as well. Then to our staff, I see a lot of teachers out here and our staff as well tonight, for the ways in which you have put yourselves into God's service this year. What an amazing thing. Also that in the year to come, God may say, let's take his gospel and continue to go with it to the ends of the earth. God's richest blessings to all of you as you not only say good riddance to the year gone by, but then bask in the amazingness of his grace for as many years as he has out in front of us. Those aren't any announcements tonight. God's richest blessings to all of you. As you be safe and enter the new year, take a moment to greet those who are nearby you.